in the dawn. Come one, come all, the song is beginning. Lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. I lift my eyes unto these hills. Almighty God has made each mountain shout, each valley grows to sing the Savior's praise.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for the month, printed in your bulletin, is from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Pray together. Please remain standing. Lord, we are here before your presence, together as a congregation, worshiping you in a spirit and in truth. And we are here because of your grace and your work in our hearts and mind. And now we understand you. And now we can say we love you. Thank you for loving us first when we have no idea of who God really was. Now, Father, we pray as a congregation for those who are experiencing difficulties for Loretta Forrest, our wonderful queen in her home with cancer for a long time. We pray for Bob Hudson. His grandma has felt and has difficulties, and we pray that in your grace you will work in her body. Father, we pray for ourselves that whatever difficulties or problems we have, physical, mental, spiritual, we will find comfort and peace and direction in thy holy word. We pray for each one of our missionaries who are extending the gospel everywhere. Fred and Carol Lewis, as Fred is in recovery in Oregon. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga. David and Denise Roth in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. And Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in the city of Gilroy. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel goes everywhere in the South for the races. So, Father, give these people, again, the desire to preach the Holy Word so the people will become believers in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we have in Sunday school and the mighty power of thy word as we go through the book of Acts. And we saw today in Acts chapter 10, the brightness of the apostle Peter, who did not accept worship, but rather he said, I'm a man, I'm an anthropos, I'm just like you. Father, I'm just like the congregation. I'm just their pastor, but I'm just like them. We thank you, Father, that there is no one above the other except Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for the words of Cornelius when Peter said, what do you send me for? And Cornelius said, we want to hear all that word of God, all that God said. Father, we are here this morning to hear all that God said in that beautiful chapter 8 of the book of Job. Thank you for the beauty of knowing that you support the ministry and you put desires in the hearts of people to give so that we can continue the ministry to God. And we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver. Thank you for the presence of the choir. Thank you for our brother who read the Bible. And thank you for your word, which give us the substance where we talk about it. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Job. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 330. We will be reading Job chapter 8, verses 1 through 22. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Job chapter 8, all verses. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite, and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire, and the flag grow without water? whilst it is yet in his greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come into your presence at any time because of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy and the great blessings we enjoy in this life, and we are comforted with the knowledge that you are always near in times of trouble. We look to that day when the Lord will return and we will enjoy you forever and sin will be no more. We thank you that we are a new creation who desire to do your will, though we must now still contend with the flesh. Strengthen us, we pray, to do your will. We pray now that you would bless your servant, Gabriel Otero, our teacher and our pastor. We are grateful that you have raised up such men who are faithful in teaching the whole counsel of God from your written word. We pray for understanding and application to our lives, all that we will now hear from your word. We pray this also for all who listen on the radio and the internet and tape and CD. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And you do well in turning your Bible to the 8th chapter on the book of Job, page 330. If you are using the Bible that is for you, place in the pew. The series of studies from day one of this year has been on endurance. And the British Dictionary explained that endurance is the ability to bear a prolonged hardship. Very difficult, don't we? Some of us went in life through that. Maybe you are going through that. I will end this series partially on March, the last Sunday, and start a series on what we believe in celebration of the resurrection. But I will provide for you a catalog with topics on this series. So if one day you are depressed, or one day you are tired and exhausted of life, then you can look in the catalog and pinpoint a sermon that will help you. The Bible said comfort with these words. The word of God brings tremendous comfort to our life. The book of Job is my selection on counseling because teaches lessons of endurance by example. And you will see today one so remarkably expressed. Scenario number 7 today. There are seven scenarios in the life of Job. And this scenario number 7 is based on chapter 8, even though it's going to move to chapter 9 for the conclusion. Now, I want you to remember in chapter 1, there is a disaster with no end. In chapter 2 is chaos with no end. And in chapter 3, Job opened his mouth. And I told you when I taught chapter 3 that I never read another chapter in the Bible so terrible in the misery of a person's feelings. If you want to be negative in your life and really see what life does to you, read Job chapter 3. It is mystery expressed with all kinds of... So when a believer acts like that, I never panic. I never judge the believer either. I just sympathize because it's biblical to feel in that way. Now, chapter 4 comes into picture. And there are three friends who listen the black pessimism of Job. They listen carefully. And so chapter 4 came, and his friend Eliphaz came and spoke to him. And remember last Sunday? He judged Job. He said, this is what you are. Following Job's vulnerable and honest response, Eliphaz stepped back. Don't say a word when Job answered to him. Now, next in the team of philosophers and friends who came to help, said the Bible, there is a man by the name Bildad. And you have that in chapter 8, verse 1. Then Bildad, the Shuhite. Now, the word Shuhite, those who know Arab or Iranians, Shuhite means the south, the southerner, we said. Somebody from Texas and from Georgia, we say the southerner. And that's an expression in Arab. And that's how the word Shuhite means, the southerner. He comes. And having heard Job's response to Eliphaz, Bildad decided to set Job straight. So I want to tell this guy what he really needs. And he launched an argument. And after reading 4 or 5 times the chapter, pastors, we divide in point 1, 2, and 3, you know. And I divided 3 thoughts on the chapter. First, he talks about the character of God in chapter 8, verse 3 to 7. It's like saying to Job, Job, look up. Now, that's good counsel. Then, secondly, he talks about the wisdom of the past, the wisdom of people who were brilliant in the past. Chapter 8, verse 8 to 10 is like saying, Job, look back. Refer to somebody who suffered like you and learn from it. And then in chapter 8, verse 20 to 22, he talks about the evidence of nature. He gives examples by nature. That's very typical of the Hebrew people. Jesus used that often. He said, look the fields and so on. They use nature to teach. And here in verses 20 to 22, he's saying, look around you, Job, and learn from nature. All right. Let's follow this outline then that Bildad put for us and see what he has to say and what the scripture has to say. I will read a lot of scripture for you today. I will do with you what I do in my Sunday school. I read the scripture and ask questions. So I will read a lot of scripture for you today and use your mind to discern what you are hearing. First, Bildad said, look up. Look in verse 3, Job chapter 8, verse 3. Does God bend justice? Look at verse 3. Does God subvert judgment or bend justice? Or does the Almighty pervert justice? Good question. Tremendous. Verse 4. Does God overlook sin? If your sons have sinned against him, he has cast them away for their transgressions. Now, nobody told Bildad that Job's son sinned, but he assumed that. All right? Now, he makes a great statement. And what he's teaching is correct. If your son have sinned against him, he has cast them away. If your children have sinned, Job, God's going to discipline them. And that's correct. Of course, you and I have the whole book, and we know what happened at the beginning, and we know that that's not the case. But this man, this counselor, is assuming and is loathing on Job. Verse 5. In verse 6, does God answer the righteous prayer? If you would earnestly seek God and make your supplications to the Almighty, if you were pure and upright, Surely now he would awake for you and prosper your rightful dwelling place. Now I'm fine. What I find amazing is not what the man said. He said a remarkable theological statement. He's not a counselor. He's a theologian, you know. And one thing is to be a Bible teacher. Another thing is to be a pastor, where you prepare a sermon so that you can swallow the sermon and become healthy spiritually. Another thing is to have been a Bible teacher, where you teach whether you learn or not. I'm teaching, all right? And I did that when I teach Greek or Hebrew. I'm teaching. Whether you like it or not, here's what I'm teaching. As a pastor, I have to digest this, how I'm going to teach it to you, so you can swallow and become better. All right? And so I'm amazed, not at what he said. What he said is correct. I'm amazed that Job restrained himself from punching him in the nose and said, come on, I'm not in that way. You look at what he said. He said, God has not been just. Job knows that. God do not overlook sin. That's correct. And God answered the righteous in prayer. He is implying that his children are in sin. He's implying that the Job lives a life without God. He gets hit. Job get hit repeatedly below the belt, we say, those who like boxing. He get hit below the belt a lot of time. But Job allowed the man to keep pounding at him. And the man pounding at Job. You are wrong. You're this and this. And Job patiently listened. That is called endurance. That is called self-control. Reminds me of Jesus at the cross, when they're pounding on him and he'll just listen. And that's also biblical. If you turn your Bible to Proverbs 26 and verse 4, page 399 in your Bible, Proverbs 26 and verse 4, page 399, to be like Job, just listening and listening without having his blood come up, is biblical. The Bible says, answer in Proverbs 26 and in verse 4, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So if you know somebody is wrong and is accusing you and is putting you down, don't react to it if you can. If you can. If you have no Latin blood or something like that. Be under the control of God and keep on listening. All right? So he's saying, look up. That's a good counsel. But doesn't apply to Job. When you're going to counsel, be careful if it applies to that person. You can say a great truth of the Bible, and we all can agree, but does what you said apply to the person you are talking to? That's important. All right? You learn that in psychology. All right? Number two, look back, Job. Look back. Verses 8 to 10. He said, at the beginning, Job looked back to consider the character of God. And remember what he said? Your sons have these happened to them because of the sinfulness of their lives. And then Job, you have had this happen to you because of the sinfulness on your life, and God, who is holy and just and pure, can do only what he has done to you. Wow. As Job sat silently under the unfair analysis, now Bildad said, I suggest you look back. Look at verse 8. For inquire, please, of the former age, of the past, and consider the things discovered by their fathers. Look into your grandfathers. For we were born yesterday and know nothing, because our days on earth are a shadow. Will they not teach you and tell you and utter words from their heart? See, Bildad wants Job to go back in time and learn from the ancient. All of that may be true, but it is not applicable to Job. I want you to learn that. Bildad may have been a good theologian and a good historian, but he made a lousy comforter. What Job needs is not theology. He doesn't need a lesson on history. He needs comfort, words of love and understanding, not a lecture. And I'm saying to you, people of God, so that when you comfort somebody, you do not lecture somebody, but you bring words of comfort, words of healing. Look back to Job. Look back, Job. That's a good thing. You look into in what has been said, but that's the Job did that all the time. Then number three, he said, Job, he's getting really, really, really bad. He said, Job, look around you. Do you study physics in high school? Remember, there is a simple law before you study equations. And the law is the cause and effect. And my teacher was very good. He put the pen on here. He said, is the pen moving? I said, no. All right. He pushed the pen. Is the pen falling? Yes. All right. You learn a law of physics. The cause and effect. If I push the pen is no longer steady. The pen moves. All right. And you come all kinds of law of gravity and the law, all kinds of law of relativity and so on come from that stupid pain coming down. All right? So that's the law of cause and effect. If I answer back to my mother, I know the effect. What? I knew that. So I ate my words when I was young. All right? The law of cause and effect. So here is what Bildad has in mind. And he turned to the subject of nature. Bildad started by asking Job to consider the character of God. He then went to the past and had him look back into the teaching of those who lived before him. But now looks around and philosophically presents an argument. Verses 11 to 19. It's just amazing. He's thinking in this way. Just as the law of cause and effect is true in the world of nature, so it is true in your life, he's saying. Now, let's see what he says. Verse 11. Can the papyrus grow up without marsh? Verse 11. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? In other words, you need a lot of water. Marsh, you need a lot of law, that you need clay, you need all these kind of environment for the papyrus to grow. The papyrus do not grow in a dry ground. Then in verse 11, he said, can the reeds grow up without water? Now, I don't have to go through the whole thing, but this is the point. This is what he's saying. If these plants do not have water, they will wither or die. Now, that's Job's condition. He's withering in life, and he's dying. And the implication is very simple. Job, you are withered or dying because you are a hypocrite. Our brother read that text where he called him a hypocrite. Right, verse 13. Look at that. So are the path of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. He called Job a hypocrite. Can everybody call you that? Without getting hurt from you? You know, this is no comfort. This is no psychologist who is sitting in the chair and listening to you and talking to you and smiling. This is what in psychology we call neurotic counseling, meaning right to the root and go. Amazing. The implication then is obvious. He said, you're a hypocrite. You do not have the water of the Word in your life. Remember, in the Bible, water is a symbol of the Word. Ephesians 5:26 says, and the husband should bless his wife by the washing of the water of the Word. Water is a symbol of the Word. And he's associating that, and he's saying, you are in difficulty. What Bildad really is saying is this: Job, you have forgotten God. Saying all of that without searching out if that's true or not is really sinful. Accusing somebody of something really wrong like this without really having the facts in your hand is really awful. It's really awful. Never do that. Never talk about anybody unless you have the facts in your hand. Now, what is his conclusion? The conclusion is in verse 20 to 22. It was a theological dissertation of integrity. Look at verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will he uphold the evildoers. That's true. If you're a child of God, you never lose your salvation. Right there in the Old Testament. Blameless because Christ has paid for our sins and we are blameless before God. And doesn't matter what you do after salvation, you may live a miserable life because God disciplined you, but you never lose your salvation. God never casts away a Christian. So Job, you need integrity. Bildad missed by a mile the counsel. He had no clue about Job and God's on and on talking. Verse 21, he will yet fill your mouth with laughing. He bring trying to bring some words of comfort and your lips with rejoicing. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame and the dwelling place of the wicked will come to nothing. If you read the book of Proverbs, that's exactly what the book of Proverbs says. He is teaching theology. He doesn't have any word, clue how to help somebody. He knows the Bible, though. And he knows theology, and he speaks to the air, saying, this is what God is, and this is what God said, and this is this. Therefore, if you don't fit my pattern, you are lost. Now, Job listened to all of this without opening his mouth. Unbelievable. If you ever are eating in a Spanish table, you better drink 4 or 5 Tylenols before. Because everybody talks at the same time. You are talking and halfway you talk, the other person is answering. But you want your speech to continue and explain. So you keep on talking, and the other person remember what you're saying now. In the meantime, he's talking. And then when you finish, the other person is talking. Then the other person starts talking. Then the other person starts talking. And I know that Daniel said, I thought I wanted to get crazy, he said. I said, that's what one of the things that at the beginning, so I learned the trick. When somebody talks, I start talking. And we all talk together. And they all finish at the same time. That must, something like this must happen in the mind of Job. He is accused of something he never did. He is put down like the worst person on this earth. And that God is punishing him in such a way. Maybe you are going through difficulties of this nature. And maybe somebody has told you are guilty. Well, chapter 9, Job replied. I have time to go through chapter 9. So I designed the sermon so I can get the answer. All right, here it is. Number 1, chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. Job knows how great God is. Then Job answered and said, verse 2, truly I know it is so. In other words, yes, sir, God is great. But how can a man be righteous before God? Now, that's a good question now. If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of 1,000. Wow. You see what he's saying? God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and prosper. He removes the mountains and they do not know when he overturns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spread out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear Orion and the Pleiades. These are celestials, stars, galaxies. And the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out. Yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? Verse 13, God will not withdraw his anger. The lies of the proud lie prostrate beneath him. He knows God. He knows God. He knows God in such a way that must left Bildad shock, that he knows the stars and the names of the galaxies. And then Job knows he cannot argue with God. Look at in verse 14. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I will beg mercy on my judge. That's the word. I will beg mercy of my judge. If I call and he answer me, I will not believe that he was listening to my voice, for he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. Wow. Job knows he cannot argue with God, period. Then Job said, if I could declare my own innocency, what will it do? Look at verse 15 again. It's very, very important. For though I were righteous, I could not answer him. If I were righteous, God is holy and I cannot compare to God. But you know what? Seeing God so mighty and seeing God so powerful, and seeing God so full of glory, do not intimidate Job. Job said, I need something. No something that I can make a contribution. No something that I can put on the table and be justified. No something that I can change my character and I be okay. No something that I can do. I need something else. And if you look with me in verse 32 and 33, he tell us what he needs. For he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator or arbitrator between us who may lay his hand on us both. Here's the word. I need a mediator. I need somebody who put the hands on God and put the hands on me and get us together. That's what I need. I need a mediator. That is what Job really wants. Look at verse 35. Then I will speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. In other words, if I have a mediator, if I have a between God and me, I will talk to him. Because I do not qualify to really demand from God anything after all. Wow. He doesn't have an arbitrator. Job is a stock. And so is anyone in this world who doesn't have a mediator before God. If you want to produce good works in order to be accepted by God, you are in the ballpark, fellow. You are out. There is no work that I can produce to satisfy the anger of God about sin. And therefore, because I have inherited sin in my nature, it is on me, and there is nothing that I can do to get rid of my sin by myself. I need a mediator. Boy, what a lesson for Bildad, for a professor of theology. See, I told you, professors of theology and people who know mighty theology, they know nothing about living. Now, did Job found the mediator? Yes, he did, later on. Look in chapter 19 with me. Chapter 19, verse 25 and 26. He found the mediator. Chapter 19, verse 25 in the book of Job. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, how my heart yearns within me. He knew, he found a mediator. He found a mediator. Now you need a mediator. Who will be? The pastor of the largest church of the Protestant church, Billy Graham. The Pope in Rome. Who will be your mediator? I never forgot. I was in the Secretary of State's office in Argentina, waiting for an audience, and one guy stepped ahead of me. My Arab and Spanish blog get ahead and grab the guy. He says, my turn. And he pulled out his pocket a letter from John II, the Pope. He said, I'm a child of God, and I should see the secretary. And I said, and when you die and go to heaven, you're going to carry the paper too? And the guy looked at me, and he went, see, nothing, Job said, nothing I can do. Nothing you can do, whether you're a Protestant, or you are a Roman Catholic, or a Buddha, or whatever, or a Muslim, whatever is your thinking, nothing you can do will appease God except you have the right mediator. And if you turn the Bible with me to 1 Timothy, page 699, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible tells us about a mediator. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3-6. You will see who it is. It is not Pastor Otero. It is not Dr. Billy Graham. Here is the name of the mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all kinds of men. Men is anthropos. All kinds of men to be saved. Thank God Argentinians are included. Desires all kinds of men to be saved. To come to the knowledge of the truth. Now here is verse 5. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, and anthropos, all kinds of men. Who is the mediator? Clearly the Bible said, the man Jesus Christ. The man Jesus Christ. Clearly said, this is the mediator. This is the mediator. If you're trying to find God by yourself, going on like Bildad was trying to tell, you learn theology, you go to the school of philosophy and you learn everything about the Bible, you learn Hebrew, you learn Greek, and you know a whole Bible, and you approach God without a mediator, you're a dead man or a dead woman. And nobody will understand you. How cold theology is without a mediator. Who is this Jesus Christ? No, I teach my college class to ask questions to the Bible without being afraid for an answer. I ask them, who is Jesus? Who is Peter? Who is Cornelius? Who is this? Who is this Jesus Christ? Did he qualify to be my mediator? Well, turn your Bible to the book of Hebrews, page 707. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 13, page 7. 07, book of Hebrews, chapter 9, page 707. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ that he qualified? The book of Hebrews, written for the Hebrews who are in Europe, on the Spaphora and all the places of Greece and Italy and Asia Minor, written for them to have comfort. Look what the scripture said. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews 9, verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. In other words, if you read the book of Leviticus, you know that if you're a believer, you once a year you go and bring a sacrifice or something very clean, an animal, and the blood of the animal is sprinkled on you and everything, and that was the ceremonial law that cleans you. And the Bible said, if that works at that time, how much more, verse 14, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for the reason, he's the, what? The mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions and the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Wow! Are we blessed? Some people say, are we lucky? No, are we blessed that we know this? Are we blessed that we know that we don't have to have anything else except Jesus Christ our Lord? Because he qualified to take the Old Testament on his shoulder, and his blood carry also the New Testament people, and we are one in salvation. And in Christ Jesus, there is no difference, as we learned today in Acts chapter 10. There is no partiality. There is no difference of people. It is just Jesus, Jesus, and people, people. And without that mediator, Job said, I'm dead, and you will be dead today. So here is the key. You have to believe in the mediator. And if you do not believe in the mediator, you're a dead man. No, here in this earth, you maybe be a millionaire. So what? When we die, we're going to look up to heaven. Who is there? God, the judge, or the mediator to say, oh, here's Gabriel. I died for this rascal. Here is God. And God looked on it. Christ is in the middle. He says, he's clean. Come, my son. The mediator. Don't try to get to God alone. Don't try to get to heaven by your own. That's what Job was saying. I'm desperate. I need somebody who intercede for me, because more I see of God, more dead I see myself. But when you see God through the mediator, what a blessing. What a blessing. So sometimes when you, as a believer, comfort other believer, maybe you don't have to tell them how bad the other believer is. Oh, how terrible the situation is. You maybe you have to say, well, if you go to Jesus, he can help you. That's what I do when I counsel. If you go to Jesus, he can help you. Where you find Jesus? In the Holy Word, the Bible. Thank God we have a mediator. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. We were lost, absolutely lost. We were trying our best, like Bildad did. Great theology without heart, because we need a mediator. We thank you, Father, that we don't have to provide anything of ourselves. We thank you that everything we need to be justified before God and clean before God is a mediator, and that mediator is the Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe it, and many people here believe it, and many people who listen on the internet and radio believe it. I hope the others too may come to believe in Jesus, their mediator. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Unkempt along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ahead.
shall veil the glory in skies. Against the foreign veils below, let all our strength be heard. Faith is the victor victory that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. His banner over us is love, our sword is word of God. We tread the Lord, the saints above, with shouts of triumph, Lord. By faith they like a whirlwind spread, swift on every field. The faith by which they conquer that is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Is the victory. Jesus is the victory.